Blog Talk Radio.
Testimony in terms of what brought you to holistic health.
You know, when we're young, we don't always grow up wanting to be a holistic health healer. That's not an aspiration that a lot of children have yet. But you actually have a very, very powerful testimony about what actually brought you to the holistic health field and this whole healing process. Could you share with our listeners what actually got you started in the holistic health industry? What brought you to it?
Sure. It was cancer is what brought me to it. I was diagnosed with cancer in 2007 with thyroid cancer. And, you know, I was pretty shocked about that. And I decided to look into alternative treatment for that. So I had heard of, you know, other folks who had been able to treat themselves naturally and cure cancer. I didn't want to have surgery, which would result in medication for the rest of my life, and I didn't want to do that. So I started researching, you know, what heals the body and naturally, and I came upon, you know, basically a holistic lifestyle and plant-based nutrition. So I switched to a plant-based diet and eating a lot more natural foods, whole foods, foods, very unprocessed foods, and then started learning about how the body heals, what builds the immune system, and so I was able to take that information and apply it, and about a year later, the cancer was gone, just with my own self-treatment of changing my diet and changing my lifestyle and supplementation. I was able to do that without any Western medicine whatsoever. And so from that, you know, people wanted to know how I did it because I was seeking information, so I let a lot of people know what was going on. And so once they heard that I was all cured, they wanted to know. And so from that just led a natural transition into helping people live a healthy and full life naturally.
Could we talk for a moment about your emotions at that time? Because, you know, in life, sometimes our emotions are all over the place. You know, for example, you might take somebody that's applied for a job, you know, and they're waiting to see whether or not they got it. And if they got it, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, you know, I got it, you know. Or if somebody is... you know, they find out that the person of their desire, you know, reciprocates those emotions of love and feeling. It's like, yes, she loves me. <You know? laughs> And I mean, for you, your emotions going into this whole process of healing had to be all over the place, because it was for you, you were making a life and death choice to not follow the physician's recommendations and to take your life into your own hands. And so I can only imagine your emotional state when you got the news that it was real, that the cancer was gone, that you did it, you know, that you actually reversed it, you cured it, it's gone. You know, I mean, that just had to be an indescribable feeling.
Right, absolutely. I was overjoyed. I was relieved. I was ecstatic. All of those things. It was like, you know, it worked. I should have worked, and it did work. And so it was, you know, vindication. It was everything. Yeah, I was. Like I said, I was just joyful and relieved, and because it had been a long journey, you know. So, so you want something that has taken that long to end in the way that you had envisioned it to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I went in calm as I could, but expecting the best, planning for the best, and that's what came out of it. So. Yeah, it was a great moment. It was definitely one of the happiest moments I can remember in my life to get the good news, you know. But I didn't go in like, this is all or nothing, you know. It's just like, this will be another data point, and we'll see what I'm going to do next, you know. So So yeah, it was great to be able to get that news and see my charts changed and all of that. So.
Mm. I mean, just to see the charts changed, you know, to, mm-hmm. that just had to be something. And again, was it at that point that you decided that, you know, it's time for me to share this information with other people, because if I can do it, anybody can do it? Was it at that moment when you got the word that the cancer was gone that you decided that, you know, this is going to not only change my life, I'm going to use this to change other people's lives too?
I think it was a few days later. I think at that moment it was just like sinking in that mm-hmm. everything worked. And I had tried so many different approaches to it as well. So I did plan from that moment, you know, I had already planned that when I got the news, and I always used it, when I get the news that I'm healed, I'm going to have a big wellness party and invite everyone who's kind of been with me on this process. And so that's what I did that weekend. And I worked with a friend of mine, and we typed up my basic nutrition regimen. This is what I've been doing because I knew everybody was going to ask. And then from there, that's when it started, you know, kind of culminating in, I think this is what I should do. It just started there. It was like a seed was planted. And I think it was, you know, after people heard about it and was sharing information, then wanted to have small groups to talk about, you know, what they should do, and with myself and the other naturopathic doctor that worked with me. And then it just kind of naturally grew from there. It's like, there's a great need. You know, people really need this information. They really want this information. We need to get it out. And that's when it kind of took on its own life.
Well, when you're dealing with people concerning, because you're sharing life-changing information, and we're talking about health here, we're talking about life and death issues. I mean, so when you're sharing with people, you know, obviously, that, you know, everybody you share the information with is not going to follow the recommendations, but those that do follow the recommendations and stick with it can expect to have the same testimony that you had. But when you talk to people and you encounter doubt or resistance, or, you know, they might hear it and initially be excited about it, like, yes, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, it takes discipline. I mean, it really, really, you got to have something to live for to, you know, stay on this path to say, okay, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it to the end, you know. So when you actually encounter people and they just find it too easy. You know, it's like, you mean to tell me that I've been, for example, tonight's discussion, we'll be talking about hypertension. You mean to tell me I've been taking high blood pressure medication all these years, and you mean to tell me just it's as simple as me changing my diet and making a few tweaks to my lifestyle and I can get rid of this? I mean, do you find that people are doubtful, or has your encounters with people been just the opposite of that, when they come to you and you're sharing with them, that they get with it and they stick with it?
Well, it's been a bit of a combination. You know, I think a lot of people are aware now of how big of a role diet plays in our overall health. So those type of conversations about things like hypertension and diabetes, I think they kind of get it. Some people I don't feel like fully believe it. And so a lot of my time is spent on just educating, because I feel like if you don't believe what I'm telling you is going to work, then the likelihood of you doing it is pretty low. So we first have to educate. So I usually, you know, spend some time doing that, but then direct them to movies to watch, books to read, so that they are fully embracing it, because it's not super easy to completely change your diet, especially when you're not 100% on board with it. It's a real commitment. So in order for that commitment to stick, you have to have the super strong belief that what we're going to do here is going to change things. And I think that's part of it. So, yeah, there's some skepticism, but then there's some, I think the more of it comes with can I do this? Can I actually make this change? And to some people, I think it sounds too big. The change sounds too big, and so they don't necessarily follow through. So it's really about kind of giving people the steps to make it happen. And so I think a lot of times, like, the people who are coming to me, they already have, coming to work with me, they already have some belief that the natural approach works, or they wouldn't have looked me up, wouldn't have called me. So really at that point, it's like, how big of a change? It's more of a bargaining. How big of a change am I going to have to make? Can I still eat X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, you really have to understand that this approach doesn't just make your diabetes livable or better, but we're talking about completely getting you back to square one. And then you will, once you understand that, you won't be asking the questions about, can I still eat this and can I still eat that? You'll be saying, what should I be eating to make this happen even faster? So it's education, really.
Everybody, I see the phone lines are lighting up. If you have a question, all you have to do is press 1 if you're listening via telephone. If you're online, the telephone number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. My special guest this afternoon is Dr. Ruby Lathan. And tonight, we're going to be talking about eliminating hypertension. Okay, eliminating hypertension. What's really going on? I mean, a lot of people, doctor, are dealing with hypertension, and hypertension or high blood pressure is one of those, I guess you would call it a disease, that a lot of people feel like, you know, I can live with this. You know, I mean, when it comes to cancer and other you know, forms of you know, issues. For example, I know that there could be somebody who, let's say they went to the doctor and the doctor said, hey, I got bad news for you. And they're like, oh, doc, please, what is it? And they're like, oh, you got high blood pressure. And they're like, oh, man, I thought you were going to say cancer. You know, it's one of those things that people can probably feel like they could live with because they feel like, okay, I can take a pill for it. And, you know, as long as I don't have to change too much of my lifestyle, modify too many things, just, okay, doc, give me the pill and I'm good. But, you know, we're going to break down hypertension and high blood pressure today. And, you know, by the end of the show, maybe you'll realize if you happen to have it that, you know, you can change it. You can actually eliminate it. Okay. We're not talking about controlling it. We're talking about getting rid of it. Okay. So with that said, Doc, for those who might not know, what is hypertension? What actually is hypertension?
It's basically when the pressure that your blood is pushing against the walls of your blood vessels, the blood vessel walls, is too high. So the pressure in the arteries. So there's a normal pressure of blood flow that goes through that gets the blood to everywhere it needs to go, to the heart and all the capillaries and everywhere from your, you know, top of the head, bottom of the feet, there's a blood pressure that your body maintains to get that done. When it's high, it means that the pressure that is being pushed through is much higher than it should be. So instead of it flowing along naturally, you're getting a much higher force. And that continued higher force causes damage to a lot of different organs, including kidneys and a lot of other things over time. It causes damage, but also if it goes too high, you know, it can cause things right away, you know, like stroke and other things. So it's really not something that, you know, is taken lightly because it has long-term effects and it has short-term effects if it rises too high too quickly or just too high, period.
So What are some of the causes of high blood pressure? You know, it's been said. I know that you know we've heard that stress is a big contributor to high blood pressure, and of course there are other things, maybe worrying too much, or what are some of the other contributors? Diet. What are some of the other contributors to what actually is the cause for high blood pressure? I mean, because I'm thinking, if it's, quote, stress, end quote, then maybe even anxiety of, you know, constant anxiety. I mean, you had a job that you can't stand. You can't stand your supervisor. You dread getting up, going in every day or whatever it could be. You know, high pressure job. You working on the Wall Street floor. You know, of the, you know, doing stocks and bonds or whatever. Or you know, you're in a bad marriage. You know, and you got to deal with that relationship or whatever. Just constant worrying and that sort of thing. But you're the doctor. So what actually is what actually causes this pressure to, you know, come through the veins or arteries with that force that becomes dangerous?
It's a number of things. So it can be, you know, obviously the things you mentioned, stress. I mean, so there are acute things that, that cause it, that like immediately, like anger, you know, stress at work, arguments, an accident, bad news. All of those things can cause your blood pressure to go up pretty quickly, you know, right away. Those aren't really the type of things that, that we're talking about, because that isn't sustained. You know, after a while, usually, once you are not angry anymore or you've heard the bad news or whatever it is, then the blood pressure goes back down to normal. It's when it stays up for a long time or over an extended period of time because of the chronic stress or because you're not accepting the bad news very well and it's sticking at a high level. So stress is definitely a factor. You know, people who are able to, who get angry like at the drop of a hat, usually are under some chronic stress, and so the blood pressure is probably already elevated, and that just pushes it over. So chronic stress, all the things you mentioned, jobs, bad relationship, there can be people who you get around and immediately your blood pressure goes up, that type of thing. So that happening over a long period of time definitely can cause, you know, the condition. And then obviously the foods we eat. So there are a couple of things. You know, obesity is one of those that causes it because it stresses the body quite a bit. You know, because we have more cells and capillaries and places where the blood has to go, and it has to work a lot harder. The heart and everything has to work a lot harder. So obesity is one of the primary causes of high blood pressure. Smoking causes can lead to it as well. So that stresses the body in a lot of different ways. So we want to eliminate that. And then, you know, our diet, and a lot of people think it's just too much salt. And so they start getting rid of all salt in the diet, and that is really not the right approach at all. Yes, eating too much salt can cause that, but it's not just salt. It's saturated fat. It's cholesterol. It's processed food that doesn't have any salt in it at all. It can just be highly processed with lots of sugar. So it's more than just salt, because I see people going down that road. They're still, I'm going to have my, you know, make my burgers with Mrs. Dash instead of salt. Well, okay, that's going to help a little bit, but the problem is the burger, not the salt. The problem is probably the type of salt you're eating. So it's really the white table processed salt that is the problem, because if you take away salt altogether, then you create an imbalance in the body, and it's not good, and it actually can cause the blood pressure to go up even more. So you don't want to go on a salt-free diet because you have high blood pressure. You want to get rid of all table salt and use sea salt that will have a color to it. It'll have a pinkish or gray hue to it normally. So you want to use a salt that has been unprocessed, that has natural minerals in it that the body needs to metabolize things and function properly. So you absolutely want salt in the diet. So you don't want to do salt-free. You want to do low salt, but not terribly low, just lower salt with sea salt. And then you want to get rid of all the processed foods in the diet and the meat and the dairy products that are part of the primary cause of it, because it causes the bodies have to do extra work to metabolize those things as well. So it's a number of things. So those are the primary ones, from chronic stress to lack of exercise, and then the diet, and then sometimes we can have some nutritional deficiencies that can contribute to it, like low vitamin D is often linked to high blood pressure as well. So you can, you know, it's important to get all our good nutrients in so the body works, you know, in a synergy. So in addition to things like sea salt, there are natural ways to get salt in, but we can talk about that. So I'll pause there.
No problem. Well, since we, we promote a vegan lifestyle on this show, you know, this show is, about health, wealth, and divine, and optimal health, of course, is a vegan lifestyle. So if you could, just for the sake of discussion, talk about the role that eating meat plays in high blood pressure in, you know, addition to all of the other, contributors that we mentioned.
Well, it's, as I mentioned, it's high saturated fat and cholesterol can be a major factor in causing high blood pressure. So in addition to that is a factor in causing, obesity as well. So when you go to a plant-based diet, most people lose weight. They are able to pretty quickly reverse the high blood pressure within, weeks, if not sooner. So that's a factor. It's just it's a healthier diet when your body is able to metabolize food quicker, easier, and use it more directly. That's going to ease the pressure on your body overall. So eating, and usually those foods come with loaded with salt and other things as well. But it's also the saturated fat and the meat itself that is a problem. So that leads to these things like diabetes and high blood pressure. So it's not, it's not just the salt, but it's those actual foods that are a problem. So, like I mentioned, most people who switch to a healthy plant-based diet, meaning they're not eating a ton of processed foods and they're eating, fresh salads and greens and all this kind of thing, it happens pretty quickly. The blood pressure starts to come down pretty quickly.
You know, what's interesting is that when you talk about people who might be taking high blood pressure medication, it's my understanding that they are instructed that this is something that they're going to have to take for the rest of their life, And
they are instructed that way, unfortunately.
You know, and what's interesting about is that whatever issues or contributing factors that actually led to the high blood pressure in most, if not all cases, is probably not addressed by the physician. It's just like, okay, this is what you got. Your blood pressure is high. We need to bring it down. It's in a danger zone. Take this pill. This ought to do it. You ought to take it for the rest of your life. But if whatever the issue was that caused it, like chronic stress, worrying, whatever, is not addressed, person is still, their blood pressure is fine, but then they're still dealing with whatever other issues, that cause them, because you can't be stressed and happy at the same time. So will they cause them unhappiness in the first place? It's still not addressed. And so they're just taking a pill to monitor their pressure, but the same issues that got the pressure there in the first place is never addressed.
Right. And that's because, most doctors, at least good ones, will tell you to lose weight to help with high blood pressure and diabetes if weight is a factor. But they don't tell you how to do that. And they, many doctors don't know exactly how the saturated fat and cholesterol affects blood pressure, but we know that it does. I mean, there are studies that show that. So they usually don't get that specific and say, get rid of the cholesterol and saturated fat, because that would basically be saying go vegetarian, because you only find the cholesterol and saturated fat in animal products. I mean, you get some very, very small amounts of cholesterol, minute, in some in some plant foods, but I mean saturated fat you do. But with cholesterol, you're only going to find that in meat and dairy products, as well as the saturated fat. The majority is in, almost all of it is in meat and dairy products. So basically what they could say, you know, is either reduce your meat intake to like twice a week or stop eating, you know, or go on a vegetarian diet, but they don't say that. They just say lose weight and leave that up to you as to how you do it. But the quickest way to do it would be getting rid of the things that cause it. So we're talking about cholesterol, saturated fat, and processed salt, excess processed salt especially.
So if somebody were to say, well, okay, I'll just get the sea salt then and I can still get the same taste or whatever, I mean, can you overdo it with the sea salt?
You can overdo it with anything, yes. Yes, even good things can be overdone. But you're able to use a lot more, number one, than you would table salt. But the flavor of sea salt is so much better that you end up using less of it. You just don't need as much. It's more potent. So you end up using a lot less of the sea salt anyway, just because a little goes a long way. But sure, you can't just eat tablespoons a day of sea salt and expect that not to have an effect. That can have an effect also. But it will have a much less effect if you were doing the equivalent in salt, in table salt.
Well, let's talk for a moment about hypertension and stroke. That's one of the things when people talk about high blood pressure, they, you know, we all pretty much tend to know that if your blood pressure gets too high, the danger, the ultimate danger is that you could end up with a stroke. What exactly is a stroke, and what actually happens in the body when that takes place, when the pressure gets so high that a person actually has a stroke?
Well, stroke happens when, the blood pressure gets really high, and there's you know, danger zones for that. So basically it can cause a rupture in the blood vessels, and then that causes the stroke, the blockage there. So so that high pressure caused the blood vessels to rupture, causing a stroke. And then that's you know, can also cause a heart attack. It can cause not just stroke. I mean, stroke is one of the most common, but it also causes heart attack as well. So so that is something to do. And that over time, that pressure starts causing damage to the blood vessels as well. So.
Wow. That's And, you know, what's interesting about high blood pressure, even as we're having this discussion, it's not something that happens overnight. You know, like you said, normally when a person, you know, gets angry, you know, they get angry for a moment, you know, then, they calm down and their blood pressure calms down, you know. But to say that someone's pressure is high, I mean, and I'm assuming that when you go to the doctor and the doctor says that your blood pressure is high, before they put you on blood pressure medication, my guess is that they would monitor it for a while to make sure that it's not, you know, this is not the norm. Right? You know, so if they take it today and it's, you know, elevated, you know, this could be, you could have had an argument in the car on the way to the doctor, you know. So I would assume that they would monitor it. They come back in a week or so, let's check it again, you know. And if it's still high, you know, then we might want to consider, you know, putting you on some sort of medication to lower it. But what that says is that if it's still high, that this constant whatever, quote, stress, end quote, is this constant lifestyle, this constant whatever it is, it's constant, you know, whatever, because there's a cause, again, for the blood pressure being high, and whatever that cause is, it's continual and it's constant to have the blood pressure elevated and sustaining that elevated level.
Right.
You know,
they usually do have you take it a few times, especially if it's high when you first come in. They might take it again near the end of the session to see if you've, you know, relaxed. So that's that is an issue. But, yeah, they do usually monitor it for at least a few days or a week or so to see if it's continuously high.
So what are some of the signs then of somebody before they even go to the doctor? Of course, if you go to the doctor and they, you know, take your blood pressure, you know, that's the sign right there. But, I mean, prior to even getting to the doctor, are there some things that people need to be aware of? I mean, because isn't high blood pressure, what is the silent killer? You know, I mean, it's, you know, called a silent killer for, you know, for some, because I guess it's because it's undetectable. I mean, but are there some things that people need to be aware of, some signs that people need to know of, that they need to know that, hey, if they see this, you know, that maybe they might want to get their pressure checked because it could be a sign that it's high?
Well, unfortunately, there aren't that many signs till it's, like, advanced of high. So you really need to know more about your risk and get it checked regularly, you know, every so often. But, you know, things from being lightheaded to feeling extra tension in the head or eyes or something like that, you know, things that you feel when you get really angry, when you shouldn't get that mad, tend to be those type of symptoms. But a lot of times, most times, there aren't that many symptoms. So it's usually going to be detected because you went to the doctor or, you know, you have other risk factors, like being overweight. So if you're overweight, you should check your blood pressure pretty often because that's a huge risk factor. If you know you don't exercise, that's a risk factor. If you know you eat a lot of salt, that's a risk factor, especially table salt. If you have diabetes or kidney disease or anything like that, those things usually come in pairs or threes, kidney failure, diabetes, high blood pressure. Usually it starts with high blood pressure and diabetes together and then on to the kidney disease. Gout is one of those things, too, that is associated with eating excess acid and salt. So those type of things can cause it. Then certain medications can cause it as well. So if you're on a medication where that's a side effect, you want to know that and then, you know, monitor it as well. I think oftentimes birth control pills can sometimes cause it to go up as well. So it's something you need to you know, monitor. So there aren't a ton of signs that you can just see and say, you know, you might just feel a little different, feel a little lightheaded, or feel a little tightness. But that's kind of late, so you just want to get it checked in advance.
So what about somebody who has been taking high blood pressure medication for a while and, you know, they're able to live a, quote, normal, end quote, life? You know, it doesn't, their pressure doesn't, you know, as long as they take their medication, it doesn't interfere with their job or, you know, vacations or whatever. They can just live a relatively normal life, seemingly. What are some of the, you know, are there first side effects to the high blood pressure medication that the doctors may be prescribing? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a blood pressure patient, so I don't know what different types of medication they actually prescribe different for different people, but are there side effects associated with the blood pressure medication? Because while they may assume that they're living a, quote, normal, end quote, life, there could be side effects that could actually be impacting their body in a negative way that they might not even attribute to the blood pressure medication.
There are side effects. There's always a side effect to pretty much every medication. And so that's why it's so important not to think that this is a good way of life, to say, oh, I'm just going to take, you know, a pill and I'm going to be okay. There's always a side effect, which is why you should do your best to, when you get a diagnosis like this or hypertension diagnosis, you need to get on it and do something immediately, because one thing leads to another, and then you'll be on another medication to counteract the side effects of the first medication, and then that'll cause complications, and before you know it, you're on, you know, a bag full of medications that are killing you. So There are definitely side effects. So for men, erectile problems, erection problems, because the lowering of the blood pressure sometimes can be too much if it's not quite right, but that is a side effect. Just dizziness, lightheadedness, again, because this is not a natural product. Your body knows how to regulate blood pressure on its own, but the medication is more a little bit of a guess and adjustment. So it can cause some dizziness or lightheadedness as well. It can cause, other side effects of the medication. For a lot of them can be anything ranging from diarrhea to constipation, but that's definitely one of them, is that. Headache is one. And then for some people, just a nervous feeling. They might feel, especially if you're not used to the medication, there's, nausea, vomiting, that comes along with it. So there's quite a few problems, that even a coughing is a side effect. So there's definitely side effects to it, to that, and then over the long term, that's just not something that you want to have to deal with.
I can imagine for people that have been on medication for so many years, and I guess maybe their body had adjusted to the medication, that you could kind of forget what it feels like to be you, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you could kind of forget what it feels like to not have some other form of, some unnatural medication running through your body. And I can imagine for those who actually do reverse the high blood pressure and get back to a normal, the pressure's normal, they're off of the medication, it's got to be like, oh, wow, I remember this.
Uh-huh.
I remember what it feels like to not have to, take 2 and 3 pills a day, or, however many times they have to take them.
Right, exactly. And things start becoming normal that you don't realize, because a lot of the blood pressure medications cause, they're diuretics, so they cause you to have to go to the bathroom a lot more often, and there's a little dehydration associated with that. It can cause you, that in itself can cause you to lose minerals when you're going to the bathroom a lot, like potassium or some other things. So that can cause foot cramps and things like that. And it's just like, the side effects are like endless. So, one of his constant urination or more, and that diuretic, mm-hmm, causing fluids to go out of your body before the minerals are absorbed, then causes you to be deficient, then causes like muscle pain and cramps. So that's just one side effect.
Everybody that's online, if you have a question, all you have to do is press 1 and I'll bring you on board. Doctor, I know there's somebody out there listening and saying, you know what, I hear what the doctor's saying, she's absolutely right, and I'm ready. I can't take it no more. This show was for me. God answered my prayer with this show. I am tired of my, living this life of, taking blood pressure medication. I want to get back to normal. I want to get back to me. What would you suggest someone do if they're hearing this and they're saying, you know what, that's what I've been waiting for this, and now that I've got it, what's the first thing I do? I mean, how do I make this transition off of the medication? Because I don't want to just stop it abruptly, because I don't want my pressure to shoot up and then,
mm-hmm,
be in the hospital. So what would you suggest to somebody who's hearing this information, they want to make the transition, where do they start?
Well, they should start with diet. So, and lifestyle changes. So the first thing is, you want to get rid of meat, especially red meat, the chicken, the beef, all of that. Throw it out. Get some good recipes, like the kind you find on my website, which is rubylathan.com. There's recipes and videos for you there. So you want to get rid of the bad food. You want to get rid of the processed food, the boxed food that's got a lot of the white table salt. You want to start filling up on smoothies and fruits and vegetables. If you're eating ham and eggs and white bread for breakfast, throw that out and switch to a green smoothie full of spinach and greens and kale and fruits and berries and oranges and things like that. And that in itself will get you started. You want to start making sure you're drinking lots of water with lemon. You want to start moving. You need to move. You need to walk. If you're not active, you need to start walking. That's highly important. So walking every day, at least 30 minutes a day, and then building up from there. You're going to want to get rid of all the processed sugar and cakes and all that stuff and start with healthier versions. There are healthy sweets that you can eat to switch, you know, away from those type of things. And so, and you know, finding replacements. So, you know, it's hard to just throw out everything and then not know what to eat. So you have to replace kind of pretty quickly on what a healthy plant-based diet looks like. And there's so much information out there. Maybe get a good cookbook or consult with someone. But you want to get rid of that stuff immediately. And if you're eating meat three times a day and you're eating dairy products once or twice a day, and you're eating processed food two or three times a day, when you switch away from that, things are going to happen very, very quickly. And then you can monitor that blood pressure and see that your blood pressure is dropping. You can check it yourself. Most people have the machines at home so they can see how they're doing. And then you can talk with your doctor pretty quickly about adjusting the medication, and then he can adjust it down, or he or she can adjust it down, and then eventually as you improve, you should be able to get off of it altogether. So you do want to talk with them about that and let them know, you know, you're making a lifestyle change and you're coming off of it. Now, don't let them discourage you and scare you into not doing what you need to do, because, you know, it's going to work. If you switch the diet, if you start exercising. And if you're a person who is thin and happen to be vegetarian already, which does happen, you might want to look at, are there other medications that you're taking that are affecting the blood pressure? Are you exercising? Because a lot of people who are thin who are not exercising, and that will help bring it down. Are you high strung, high stress? Because that will definitely cause it to be up. And, you know, are you taking good multivitamins and other nutrients to make sure that you're not counteracting, that you have the nutrients you need to help bring the blood pressure to where it needs to be? So most people with high blood pressure tend to be on the heavier side. So once you start losing weight, that will come down almost very quickly. And then it will stay down. For those who have more stubborn cases, like I mentioned, who, you know, tend to already be thin and things like that, then we have to look at other lifestyle factors and say, are you exercising? Are you moving? Are you meditating? Are you, you know, doing those type of things to help bring things in line?
You know, if we could talk for a moment just briefly about relationships, just simply because there are, that could be the cause for a lot of different people. You know, there are different reasons for different people, you know. So for some, they could be in a relationship that's very, very toxic. And just as a result of it, you know, they might be thinking, you know, oh, it's not that bad. You know, I can deal with this, you know. But the result is you might have high blood pressure and not even consider the fact that the relationship that you are in is contributing to the high blood pressure. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and dump your mate. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if you're not happy and if you're fighting every day, okay, or if you're stressed out every day or, you know, whatever the case is, every day, you know, then that could be a contributing factor to your high blood pressure and you not even know it. So, Doc, could you just talk about just even, and that doesn't necessarily have to be limited to love relationships, but just your circle of friends, the people that you deal with, you know, it's important to surround yourself with peaceful people, you know, because that peace can rub off. And if you're around people with a whole bunch of drama all the time, I mean, that could be something that could, well, let me put it this way, it's not going to help your high blood pressure, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. bad relationships can cause you to have a chronically high blood pressure, especially if it's toxic where you're arguing like daily. I mean, that will do it. It's as simple as that. So we have to realize that those things have significant effects on our life. Not to mention, what a terrible way to go through life every day arguing. So, in addition to it having a very negative, you know, side effect, so we have to definitely examine our relationships and examine the way we're living. Is to know that that's really not normal. I mean, a lot of people go through life very hostile and very, you know, on edge and ready to bite your head off at any second, thinking that's like normal behavior and that's their normal, but it's not the way we're designed to be, because, you know, different hormones are going to be elevated along with that and just basically aging you prematurely when you go throughout life like that. So we've got to find a way to change those type of relationships, deal with them differently, and if exit is necessary, exit. But, you know, look at what we can do to change that and know that, you know, there's a better way, and that way is not healthy, and it's detrimental on a number of fronts.
Doc, can we talk about meditation even as a treatment? Because a lot of people know that when it comes to meditating and stress, now I believe that we can eliminate stress. And again, I'll recommend a book by Shechem Raoul Nefer-Amen, Stress Free for Life, where he actually talks about it, that managing stress can, in his book, he discusses how managing stress can kill you. You don't want to manage it. You want to eliminate it, you know. And it's just like something that you said before, Doc, that if you can get it, you can unget it. So if you can get stress, you can unget stress. So could you talk about then, just even in addition to eliminating the toxic relationships and, you know, making some dietary and lifestyle changes, just as a tool in your toolbox, meditation, actually sitting quietly and actually focusing on your breathing and, you know, just how even doing that, like you mentioned, I think that even if you get, even if you're in the midst of an argument, if you can just get away and breathe, you know, take 10 deep breaths or whatever, you know, just the role of the breath in this whole process and how important meditation can be to treating high blood pressure.
Absolutely. It's very effective. I mean, you can take your blood pressure from high to normal to low with a single meditation session. Now, that's not to replace bad eating, but it's just to highlight the power of meditation, that it is completely controllable through a number of ways, and that meditation is very powerful. So generally, when you meditate, it causes you to calm down. It causes you to stop the chatter in your brain. It causes your blood pressure just naturally to drop and relax, because, you know, blood vessels start relaxing when your mind relaxes. It causes everything just to slow down a bit and relax. And when the blood vessels relax, the blood flow relaxes. So it definitely brings it down. And then you start, you know, it helps you get centered on, you know, what's important. And it helps you just put away the silliness and focus. And that's extremely beneficial. It helps you become unstressed. So that thing that you're stressed about tends to get smaller and dissipate. So it's very powerful. It's something we should all do. And it just helps you get centered. It's hard to be just a really unpleasant person when you meditate, truly meditate, and meditate on good things. A lot of us are meditating on a lot of negative stuff and don't realize we're meditating on it. We're like ruminating, you know, thinking about stuff, getting madder and madder. That's a form of like negative meditation. So, you know, especially if you set the stage, like play music or light a candle, which you don't have to do. You can just do it sitting in a chair. But if you're having problems getting into meditation, it helps to get the environment right. to assist you with it, but you can do it any time. But it's extremely powerful and beneficial, and it helps you get your day started. If you, they say it's best to do it in the morning or evening because your body's more receptive, but you can do it any time, especially if you've just had a stressful meeting. You can go sit in your car and meditate for 15 minutes, and you'll come back feeling refreshed and ready to deal with whatever. So it's a powerful tool.
You know, they say that worrying is like praying for something that you don't want to happen. You know, I'll repeat that. That worrying,
exactly,
like praying for something that you don't want to happen, because it's the same. It's the same energy. It's energy that's exuding from you. Your thoughts. You're thinking about this thing, whatever it is, whatever you're praying for. If you're praying for something good to happen, you're still, you know, your thoughts are constantly on that thing, and that energy is exuding for you from you toward the object of the prayer. Same thing with worry. If you're worrying, then that same, you know, energy is exuding from you, and your thoughts are going toward the focal point of whatever it is that you're worrying about. So you're just worrying. You're just praying for something that you don't want when you worry. So, and at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. So, you know, let's be mindful of what it is that we're thinking about, what we're focusing on. And like Dr. Latham mentioned, you know, think on good things. You know, that can help you with your, you know, a high blood pressure, and surround yourself with peaceful, drama-free people. And even watching, even what you watch, could you talk about that? Just even the things that we allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear can affect us. I mean, if you're watching crazy drama on TV, you might not have drama in your life, but if you're bringing it into your life, if you constantly watch, you got to be mindful of everything. You got to be mindful of what you see, what you hear. I mean, could you just talk about for a moment just the images that we see, and you know what it is that we hear? We know that sounds, I mean, even music can, you know, have an effect on you. If you're listening to loud music, music can get you ready for war. You got war songs, and then you got music that'll calm you down, you know. So could you talk about just even what we see and what we hear, in addition to the other things that we mentioned, like diet and so forth?
Sure. I mean, that those things can definitely affect the way we see life and the way we envision things. So everything that we ingest has an effect on us. So if we're watching a lot of negative, high-stressed shows, that's not going to be good for us, because it's like you're basically priming your brain for what you want. You know, I think we all have our, you know, moments where maybe we're, you know, going to indulge, but we're talking about what you're watching every day. If you're watching mm-hmm. crime shows every day, it's very unhealthy to take mm-hmm. that in. And it does cause a reaction in the body, a negative, usually, reaction in the body when we see disturbing things. So if you're watching something disturbing every day, that's not going to be a healthy response that you're causing in your body. So we really need to guard our minds with what we're putting in. You know, by beholding, we've become changed. That is very true. So whatever it is, so, you know, be a more pleasant person, you watch more pleasant things. I never understood the desire to watch, you know, gruesome television shows with lots of crime and rape and all those things. I never understood why I would want to see that acted out when it's happening in real life. I don't understand. So we just have to guard our mind with that, those mm-hmm. type of things, and say, what am I putting in? How is this making me feel? And you know, making sure we're getting more positive reinforcements than negative.
Dr. Latham, somebody wants to talk to you, so let me bring you on. I'm going to call the last four digits of your phone number. 4356.
Okay.
4356, you're on the air with Dr. Latham. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Divine.
Thank you, Juwanza. It's Renee. I just wanted to ask the question with regard to diet. It's not just cutting out the meat and going to a plant-based diet, I understand. You have to have a balance in that plant-based diet so you can get all the nutrition and everything that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, it takes some education, you know, to get you in the right diet routine, as opposed to just eating because I know somebody who decided to stop eating meat but ate all the potatoes in the world, you know,
and
understanding that that's not a good thing. But until you can get educated pretty much as to what you really need to do as a regular diet in a plant-based regime, what can you just do just to get started?
So we can look at how to replace some of those things. For example, you can replace some meat sources with beans, for example. Number one, the beans are going to give you fiber that you need that helps. It's going to help with the blood pressure and a lot of other things. So instead of a chicken taco or a taco salad with beef, you can have a taco salad with black beans or pinto beans or kidney beans, whatever. So you can switch things out one-to-one. If you want to start with some healthy meat substitutes, you can try that. But I think, you know, for starters, let's say if you're eating things for breakfast, I think, to me, one of the easiest things you can start doing is having a green smoothie every day for breakfast. So that displaces a lot of carbohydrates and other things that a lot of people are eating for breakfast, cereals that we think are healthy that are just, you know, processed flour. So you want to put things in your smoothie like chia seeds and hemp seeds that add protein and fiber, and you want to put, obviously, fruits as well, and then some green in there. So those type of things, adding, you can just start displacing nuts like chips and things with a healthy trail mix with nuts and seeds like pumpkin seeds and raisins and almonds, instead of, you know, a snack from the vending machine. So you can start making some healthy substitutions. We can all definitely start drinking 2 glasses of water when we first get up in the morning to hydrate the body with lemon in it. Apple cider vinegar also helps bring down the blood pressure. So drinking an 8-ounce glass of water with a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar is one way to help throughout the day to help do that. And you can do it once a day or up to 3 times a day. And then there are other things, seasonings that help. So things like steel-cut oatmeal with cinnamon. Cinnamon helps bring down the blood pressure as well as garlic. So we can start adding more salads to our meal. So, you know, if you want to start simply, let's say start breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a salad before whatever it is you're going to eat for the main thing. You eat a salad first, and you're going to eat a lot less of that. And then, you know, you can, some people step down. So if you want to step down, like from red meat first, to give yourself kind of a transition period, that's fine too. So that way you start cutting that out and saying, okay, now I'm going to replace this meat product with, you know, something else. I'm going to just stick with poultry and fish until I step down from there. You can do it that way. You can also just cut in half the amount of meat that you're eating immediately until you figure out how to make the transition. And realize that the greens and things and the vegetables are what are giving you energy and life, not the meat. We can start adding more, you know, especially if you're going to, like, say, do a meal without meat. You can just make sure it's well-rounded, that it's got a healthy amount of greens, which should be like half your plate, some protein. I mean, all fruits and vegetables have protein. But we can look at using, you know, beans or nuts and seeds. There's a lot of recipes that I have that use seeds or nuts as the base for making different things, ranging from like tuna salad and things like that. You know, fake versions of those things, but in a very healthy way. So I would say, you know, start with water, start with green smoothies, you can start juicing as well. That can be used as a meal replacement in some cases, or at least a snack replacement. Juicing, especially celery juice, helps bring blood pressure down pretty quickly. Then replacing your table salt with sea salt right away is another way. Coconut water is very good because it has natural salt, sodium, that does not raise the blood pressure but gives you what you need in terms of the electrolyte balance that you need. That's what we get from real mineral salt. We get good electrolytes from it. So that's where I'd start. And then you start want to building up your recipe or menu ideas for what to do. There's so many things online from groups and things like that that you can find. But just, you know, talking to someone to start replacing the bad foods with healthier versions of those foods.
Right. I have been on blood pressure medicine for some years now, but I suffered a major hemorrhagic stroke in April. So I'm doing well now, and the same medication I was on prior to the stroke, I'm still on, no increase, no changes. And my blood pressure is amazing. It has not been this good, and I don't even know when, and I'm talking like 120 over 70s, you know, so it's very good. And I'm trying to figure out how is the same medicine keeping it down consistently, but it didn't do that prior to the stroke. And the only thing I can attribute to, I was on a very long-term, what do you call that stuff? It's no good for you, prednisone. And I said, I really do believe that contributed to the stroke. But I have to admit, I have lost weight since having the stroke. So that's another variance there. And I don't eat as much as I did. So that's contributing to the, you know, weight loss, I know. But the same medication is keeping my blood pressure down. And it just seemed like, why didn't it do that before, you know? No stress,
well,
I'm not worried about stuff.
You're right. I do know that prednisone and those type of drugs do cause blood pressure to go up. So that's a side effect of those type of drugs. So that's definitely probably a factor. And as you mentioned, weight loss is a huge factor. So once you start losing weight, your weight is going to continue to come down to normal. And what's going to happen, I don't, you know where your weight is now, but if you still have some to go, the closer you get to your normal weight, the more your blood pressure is going to drop, and then you can probably start working with your doctor to step down
step down,
the medication.
Right.
Yeah, as you continue with that.
One final question, or maybe two. I've heard that there are some new blood pressure guidelines for African Americans. Is that true? And, you know, can you address that? And secondly, I've heard of this new meat source. It's called Beyond Meat. It's not meat. I call it fake meat. And it's supposed to be vegetable-based stuff that they've created. And right now, I think the thing that they have the most of is the chicken strips, because they were trying to capture not just the flavor but the texture of the meat. So you won't feel like you've lost anything giving that up. And I was wondering if you had any information about those substitutes.
Sure. Those are good questions. Let's see. I'm not super familiar with the guidelines. In terms of what has changed. I mean, they might have basically kind of changed the numbers to say what is high blood pressure versus what is not, what puts you at risk. I think those were some of the major changes that they were looking at. So, for example, I think we're looking at something like 120 over 70 is going to be considered really good. They might have said maybe the target should be 115 or something like that. So it's nothing that is monumental. So that needs to really happen. I mean, the recommendations are still the same. Weight loss and dietary changes are still going to be on the top of the list for how to deal with that. And then as far as I am familiar with that meat substitute. It is a good substitute. I see it as a transition food because it is somewhat processed, but it is definitely much, much, much better than eating the real thing, eating chicken. So I've actually tried those products you're talking about. They actually have a pretty decent flavor and texture. So I definitely see it as a transition food, meaning as you transition off meat and you're looking for that one-to-one replacement, go ahead and use those because they have zero cholesterol, zero saturated fat. They're high in protein. and it's plant protein. So,
right.
And I think most of those are gluten-free as well. So I think those are good. But you still want to transition closer to a more natural foods. So in my opinion, it would be better to be using some, you know, sweet potatoes and black beans than those chicken strips. But I'm not saying don't use the chicken strips. You know,
right.
Just see it as a transition and then start adding more and more natural foods to your diet, and then eventually even letting those go and using those as like special occasion things, or when you're going to your relative's house and you need to bring a vegetarian dish or something like that. That's kind of how I see it.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you so much for your contribution, Queen Renee. Always great to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, my special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. We're talking about hypertension. You still got 1 minute to get your question in if you got one. If you're online, press 1, 347-324-5727. My name is Jawanza. I really appreciate your time. Dr. Lathan, I really, really thank you so much for, you know, just breaking this whole, you know, hypertension thing down. And again, I know that there are people out there that, you know, are at that place where they want to make the change, and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, food for a lot of people is a stronghold. I mean, food for a lot of people is like, it's like, you know, we are emotionally attached to food. You know, there's food is, it's just, it for a lot of people, it's the thing that basically keeps them bound in whatever condition health-wise that they find themselves in. And you actually have a show that you've created called The Veggie Chest, where you actually share recipes and actually visually show people how to make the transition, how to juice certain things. Could you talk about The Veggie Chest and how people can actually tune into that? Because, again, when you're making this transition, you need help. You need to surround yourself with people that are doing the same thing, going the same direction as you. You need information. You need people to show you how to do it, take you by the hand and literally show you how to do it. And so could you talk about The Veggie Chest with that in mind?
Sure. I created it to help introduce new types of eating and recipes to people when I'm working with them, so they understand, you know, what it is to do. It's a lot of, because it can be daunting to say, you know, make a tuna salad out of sunflower seeds, right? So I do videos to show you how to do that, very short, about 5-minute videos, start to finish, to show you what it should look like, the process, to make it more accessible to people and understand the process. So there's a number of shows you can find on my website, rubylathan.com, and that's L-A-T-H-O-N, or you can go to YouTube and just type in The Veggie Chest, and you'll see them all there. And, you know, I'm always open to, I make up all my own recipes. So if people are, sometimes I've gotten inspiration when people have asked me to make a vegan version of something, like a friend asked me to make a vegan version of quiche. And so we did a show about that. So, so if you have some suggestions, I'm happy to try those. But there, it's all there. The recipes are there on the website as well. You can look it up and, you know, take a look, show your friends, and give it a try.
Dr. Lathan, I certainly appreciate you. I know we've gone over a bit. I thank you for your graciousness and your patience. Any final words for our listeners, Doctor, before we go?
Just to know that this is an attainable thing that we're talking about. It's not just for some people. Pretty much everyone can reverse their conditions, whether it be high blood pressure or something else. And this is one of the first steps in kind of getting you out of that risk factor pool. As the caller mentioned, you know, the recommendations for African Americans, basically they're saying, you know, we have to take this more seriously because high blood pressure leads to heart disease. Heart disease is killing us. So saying, watch out, the doctors and all need to be a lot more aware and advising their, you know, clients that, hey, this is nothing to be taken lightly. And so I'm glad we're having this show because a lot of us do take high blood pressure lightly because it has, it feels like it has so few side effects to our life, but it, a lot is going on the inside. So so it's something we should take take seriously and wipe it out.
You know, Dr. Lace, and I applaud you for the work that you've been doing, and it's not really surprising that you are doing what you're doing now, because with the success that you had just changing your diet to a livid, as I like to say, you know, you let everything go. You let go of the meat, the dairy, the processed foods, the junk stuff, and you're here as a living testimony to what can happen if you're willing, the changes necessary, giving the body what it needs. And so education, as you and Queen Renee mentioned, is so important because you got to know what to give the body. And so, again, I thank you so much for, you know, lending your expertise to Health, Wealth, and Divine, sharing with our listeners this information that can literally change their life. I mean, this information could be the answer to somebody's prayer. And, you know, just know, everybody, that you can do this. You really can do this. You heard the testimony from Dr. Lazen, okay, powerful testimony about how the doctor said that, you know, she had thyroid cancer and she wasn't going to settle for that, and actually did the research and made the changes, and it changed her life. And her testimony can be your testimony, but, like, in order to have her testimony, you have to do what she did. Okay, so know that you can do it, and you can contact Dr. Lathan. Dr. Lathan, if they wanted to reach you by phone, email, how can they do that?
They can reach me by phone at 202-709-7829 or by email at ruby@rubylathan.com.
Okay, everybody, don't forget the veggie
check. And they can also reach me on my website. If you forget any of that, just go to rubylathan.com, and you can send me an email from the contact page right there, and I get those.
Okay. And everybody, don't forget the veggie chest. That's, you can get that on YouTube. Again, the veggie chest, where you get recipes all the time on how you can actually make the transition to a healthier plant-based diet and find out how delicious it is as well. Dr. Lathan,
exactly. I will say that is one of the things I focus on. It's not just healthy food, but healthy food that tastes good. So you want to check that out.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. They think that, you know, eating healthy is just, you know, it's going to be some, you know, just eating leaves all day long, you know.
Yeah, I've had a lot of bad so-called healthy food, and that can be very discouraging. So I just want people to know, you know, not have to have a flavorless existence. I'm a very good cook, and so I use that and to infuse flavor in all of our plant products so that it's very good, and so you'll be happy and satisfied with it.
Everybody, there you have it. You wanted this information. It's no accident that you're hearing this, okay? You came to this show on purpose. You're here on purpose, okay? So there's a reason why you came. There's a reason why you're hearing this. If it's not for you, it's for somebody that you know. So be sure to share this information because, again, it's life-saving and life-changing. Dr. Lathan, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I'll be in touch.
All right. Good night.
Thank you. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Definitely give her a call. Remember, drrubylathan.com, okay? Go to the veggie chest, okay? You can get information on how you can make this transition delicious. It does not have to be a drudgery. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be hard. There are groups out here. There are kinds of groups, vegetarian groups on Facebook, vegetarian groups. I mean, there's the vegetarian, if you're in D.C. area, what's the vegetarian, the D.C. Vegetarian Society? I mean, you know, all you have to do is just do a little research, and you'll find tons of groups, tons of people that are making and have made this transition and are more than willing, would be more than happy to help you make the transition as well. Again, my name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for your time. I certainly appreciate you. And until the next time, peace and blessings.